You're with us for the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Busy days at the Capitol, and we're going to walk through the legislation and slow down the politics as we get set for a week when Governor Tony Evers delivers his budget address. That is Thursday evening at 7, and we will be carrying it live right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join in throughout the State Capitol Report at 800-642-1234. Would you benefit from a middle-class tax cut? How? Or do you think the money should be used for something else? Have you been following the lawsuits filed against the lame duck laws? How do you hope to see these suits resolved? Or do you think they shouldn't have been filed in the first place? And what about the governor's push to legalize medical marijuana? Where do you stand? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So let's start out with this middle-class tax cut. Governor Evers imposed his first veto last week, and the Republicans had put forth this tax cut by leveraging a budget surplus. How have Republicans reacted to this veto?
So Republicans haven't been terribly pleased with this veto, of course. This was a bill that they were pretty passionate about, pretty excited about. They said that the governor vetoing this legislation was really an example of him not walking the walk of this bipartisanship that he says he wants to practice in the state capitol. At the same time, though, Republican lawmakers say they're really committed to this middle-class tax cut, and they're committed to finding a bipartisan solution. So we're looking at kind of the path forward for this in terms of where everybody goes after the governor's first veto. And it's pretty interesting because while they're calling for bipartisanship and they're saying they remain committed to it, they've called the, you know, biggest element of the governor's tax cut proposal a non-starter. So finding common ground could be kind of difficult.
Right. So the governor will have his own plan for a tax cut in his budget proposal Thursday. And this plan funds the tax cut in part by capping a current income tax credit for manufacturers. So what is the likelihood that this type of formula for funding would pass the Republican-controlled legislature?
Well, it's really slim. The chances are really slim for that particular funding mechanism to pass, because essentially Republican lawmakers are characterizing that tax change as a tax increase. What it would do is it would roll back a tax credit program that some manufacturers are able to take advantage of. The changes would apply to the highest level of income earners, manufacturers in Wisconsin. They'd no longer be able to claim this tax credit. Lawmakers say, well, that's a tax increase on those individuals. We are never going to vote to support a tax increase. So this is absolutely just a fundamental no for us. So if this proposal is going to go forward and get support of Republican lawmakers, it looks like the governor might have to come up with a different way to pay for his plan.
And Evers campaigned on passing a 10% income tax cut for the middle class. Do you see any signs of compromise at all?
Well, you know, that compromise really is going to come down to, I think, finding a different funding source. The governor's funding source, Republicans have said that's a non-starter because it's a tax increase. The Republicans' funding source, the governor has expressed concern with because it's not a long-term solution. It's just using a pot of state money that's rolling over from the current state budget. So what they're going to have to do is kind of find an option C that's amenable to both parties, it looks like. And as far as I know, there hasn't been any discussion yet of that option C, at least not that we've heard about publicly.
We're getting up to speed with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, and you can be a part of the State Capitol Report at 800-642-1234. Are you following the lawsuits filed against the lame duck legislation? How do you hope to see the suits resolved? Or do you think that they shouldn't have been brought in the first place? Do you agree or disagree with legalizing medical marijuana? What about decriminalizing possession of small amounts? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, let's look at the lame duck lawsuits. Challengers filed another one on Thursday against legislation that was passed in December's extraordinary session. So this is the fourth suit against the lame duck laws. What does this latest suit allege?
So this lawsuit was filed by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, And it alleges that Republicans violated the U.S. Constitution with their lame duck session, particularly that they violated the Constitution's guarantee clause, which, for those who aren't intimately familiar with the parts of the Constitution, like the guarantee clause, that says that every state has a right to a Republican form of government, which means a perfectly representational form of government. You know, people elect individuals, those individuals represent them, et cetera. The lawsuit contends that the voters of Wisconsin chose Governor Tony Evers to represent them with the knowledge that he would be able to carry out certain tasks, do things like withdraw the state from the federal Affordable Care Act lawsuit, things like that. And the lame duck lawsuit took those powers away from the governor. So essentially the lawsuit argues the lame duck session is taking away the voters' choice of the governor to do those things. It also says that the lame duck session violates the First and 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution by interfering with free expression and association.
So does this lawsuit stand out in any way from the other three that have been filed, or are all of them pretty similar?
It does stand out a little bit. So this is the second of two federal lawsuits. The other federal lawsuit is very specifically focused. It looks at voting restrictions that were passed during the lame duck lawsuit. So of the two federal lawsuits, this one's a bit more broad. Then the other two are both state lawsuits. One is focusing on a procedural argument. It says that the state constitution doesn't specifically outline powers for lawmakers to call an extraordinary session. So it says because this power isn't outlined, the entire extraordinary session should be null and void. Then the other state lawsuit filed by a coalition of union groups argues that the extraordinary session violates the state constitution separation of powers argument by taking too much power away from the executive branch and giving too much to the legislative branch. So they're all, you know, they all have shades of familiarity, of course, but I would say this one's pretty unique.
Laurel, the legal process takes time. Can we expect any of these suits to be resolved anytime soon?
You know, these are all pretty early in the process, so it's going to take a while. You know, as we've seen with other lawsuits that we've followed here in Wisconsin, lawsuits that have to do with our voter ID law, for example, or our legislative maps, these cases are heard in a court, arguments are made, then it takes a while for a decision to come down. When that decision comes down, then things are appealed to a higher court, repeat the process over and over, sometimes all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, as we saw with our legislative maps. So this is not likely a process that's going to end anytime soon.
And so does Wisconsin follow the laws during this time? What happens if they're held up in court?
So Wisconsin will follow the laws unless a judge decides and orders otherwise. So we have seen that in the other federal case, the first federal case that was filed on voting restrictions. A judge in the Western District of Wisconsin said that he believes them to be in violation of actually a previous ruling that that he made in 2016. So he said those laws cannot be enforced as this case is pending appeal. So that's called issuing a stay on the laws. And that is something certainly that a judge can do. But if a judge doesn't do that, then the laws stay on the books. They remain the law of the land and are enforceable.
You're with us for the State Capitol Report. WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White is our guide. Last week, Governor Evers announced some previews of his budget, including a path to legalize marijuana and more funding for women's health and infant care. What are your thoughts there? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Tony Evers will propose decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana as part of his state budget address that he'll unveil Thursday. And under that proposal he laid out last week, he talked about legalizing marijuana for medical conditions.
I believe, and I know the people of Wisconsin overwhelmingly believe, that people shouldn't be treated like criminals for accessing medicine that can change or maybe even save their lives.
It's one of the items we're tracking as we talk through the legislation and politics. Governor Evers previewed some pieces of his budget last week. So what do you think about his plan for legalizing medical marijuana and decriminalizing possession of small amounts? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White is our guide. Laurel, so as Governor Evers rolled out his plan a bit, or has previewed his plan on the path toward legalizing marijuana and medical marijuana, are these bipartisan issues, or does this create some clash here?
Well, it's a little bit of both, Kate. So some Republicans, including Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, have expressed support for medical marijuana in the past. However, in this particular instance, the Speaker says that this package of proposals goes a little bit too far. He's not incredibly comfortable with some of the other elements of what the governor wants in addition to medical marijuana, those things like decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana in your possession, creating that process for expungement, and taking away some of those state regulations on CBD oil.
Well, let's hear Assembly Speaker Robin Voss reacting to these proposals. Here he is on WISN Radio.
Rather than reaching out and saying, let's figure out how to actually work together, he made the decision to go down the route of saying, this is just a first step toward legalization of marijuana, which for an awful lot of folks in Wisconsin, myself included, that is an absolute positive non-starter.
You didn't mince words there, Laurel. Is that a feeling that it's a non-starter for Republicans here?
Well, anything that they believe, kind of, as you heard the speaker say, puts us on the path toward full legalization of marijuana is going to be a big problem. And that's what the speaker says this package essentially does, in his opinion, that it just goes a little bit too far, that there's not quite enough control and oversight. I believe that when we heard a little bit more from Speaker Voss last week, he said that he thinks medical marijuana at this point, which was the element of the package that he was initially most amenable to, only has a 10% chance of passing the state assembly now because of some of these other things that are attached to it in the package. Now, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, on the other side of the hall in the Capitol, has never been enthusiastic even about the medical marijuana element. He has just said that he doesn't see it having a path forward at all in the state Senate. So it's not looking too good for this package of proposals from the governor.
Did the governor roll this out in a way that Republicans aren't very keen on in terms of how he's presenting his ideas?
Well, I think, something Speaker Voss said about this is that the governor just appears to be, in his opinion, pushing it just a little bit too far. Speaker Voss said that he has himself been open to medical marijuana in the past. Actually, for the past several years, he's expressed an openness to that. So he says that he wished the governor had been a little bit more communicative with him, sort of reached out to somebody on the Republican side that has been open about their support for one of the elements of this package to see if a little bit more coalition building could be done before the package itself was rolled out, maybe get a little bit more feedback on some of those other elements to do something that would be more likely to pass the Republican-controlled legislature. Now, I think we have to keep in mind, as that pushback is coming from Republican leadership, that this budget document really is sort of a philosophical document on the part of the governor. This is outlining his goals, his priorities, and so him kind of rolling back what he's asking for might be a contradiction to this sort of mission statement that he's laying out for the state, not fully exploring everything that he really wants.
Well, let's bring in Mary now, joining us from Pewaukee on this issue. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, both of you. Hi, Laurel and Kate. I wanted to just say that I am in agreement with Evers. One is the CBD oil is legal, I think, in all of the states, and that it may have some help for people with pain, such as arthritis, et cetera. The second thing is the medical marijuana. I think all points are directing us to realize that this is, almost a miracle type of a natural herb that can be used for things from seizure to pain, et cetera. And I think we definitely have to have that. I mean, it makes no sense to have it in the same category as heroin, cocaine, and the other harsh drugs that actually are detrimental to our society.
So Mary is saying, Laurel, that we really need to lean on the latest research on medical marijuana specifically.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that the supporters of this legislation have consistently voiced during the debate on this. And I think it's also interesting to point out that, you know, she was talking about public support for these proposals. Public support we've seen in polling from, you know, the poll that we often point to is the Marquette University Law School poll. And it has showed consistently increasing support for medical marijuana in Wisconsin over the past several years. I believe right now it's north of 70% of public support for that measure. So that's something that the governor has mentioned already as he's rolled out this proposal, and I think that'll certainly continue to be a part of the debate going forward.
Well, Governor Evers' first budget address this week, among the things he'll propose, $28 million for women's health care, including funding Planned Parenthood. Here is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss reacting to that.
Republicans are not going to put one more nickel into Planned Parenthood than we do right now. We have done everything we can to try to make sure that we protect human life.
So what do we know about this legislation and this funding of $28 million? What does he want to do here?
So this funding, it's a little bit complicated, but basically what happened here is that Governor Scott Walker shut down two federal streams of funding known as Title V and Title X that were directed toward Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. Planned Parenthood said that shutting down that funding resulted in them closing five rural clinics across the state, and just, you know, limiting the amount of care that they were able to provide. In terms of preventive care, you know, things like screenings, testing, well woman checks, et cetera. So what the governor would do in his proposal is reopen those streams of Title V and Title X funding to Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. I spoke to the head of Planned Parenthood here in the state, and she said that that money would exclusively be used for things like preventive care. But as we heard from Speaker Voss, Republicans have major concerns with sending money to Planned Parenthood in any form because of Planned Parenthood's role in performing abortions in Wisconsin.
So how else would this funding for women's health be used with Planned Parenthood not in the picture? What else happens in this proposal?
So there's definitely money that's not being funneled to Planned Parenthood that doesn't have to do with those two streams of money. It would also increase state money given to a minority health grant program, which is working to decrease the high infant mortality rate for African-American babies in Wisconsin. This is something that we've reported on a lot at WPR. The rate of infant deaths for Black babies in Wisconsin, according to the CDC, is nearly three times that of white babies. So the governor says we need to put more state resources into identifying the causes of this problem to do more preventative work. So he would give a lot more money to state programs that help address that. It would actually create a new infant mortality prevention program within the State Department of Health Services. So that would be a new initiative. And the governor's proposal also does a number of things related to Medicaid. So it would increase Medicaid coverage for doula services. Doulas are individuals that provide guidance to moms-to-be and new mothers. And also it would seek a waiver to increase postpartum care for individuals who are on Medicaid. So right now, postpartum care is limited to a specific number of weeks. Under the governor's proposal, that would be significantly increased. So individuals on Medicaid would have more access after they give birth.
Well, very quickly, as we start to wrap up here, Assembly Republicans have unveiled a nearly $4 million package to address homelessness. And here's Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke talking about the package on WBAY-TV.
We're investing in resources to help avoid evictions, to get people so they don't become homeless. Then we're investing in more money into shelters, you know, and to help expand resources for them as well.
So it sounds like there's a doubling down here on funding for housing programs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is something that we've seen state lawmakers work on pretty consistently over the past several years. There was also a package of homelessness-related legislation that passed during the last legislative session. So this is kind of building on that. identifying more things, more areas that need additional state resources, and kind of taking another step down that road to help this population.
How have the governor and Democratic lawmakers responded to this proposal?
So Democrats were actually a little bit frustrated that they weren't more involved in the rollout of this proposal because they have been supportive. They've been part of a task force that identified some steps that needed to be taken by the state. So there was a little bit more concern about how much bipartisanship is happening in the Capitol. That's a theme that we're hearing a lot about these days.
Well, Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Up next, it's news. And the State Capitol Report continues with a look at what we can expect from a new state task force on caregiving. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.